First one says there, where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. And it probably rhymes, but it's maybe not doctrinally correct, because we know that something's spilt, it's an accident. But the blood of Jesus was shed. So we'll just change that little word there, spilt, to shed, when we come to sing that first verse. That's the way we would sing it when we sing from the projector. There, where the blood of the Lamb was shed. Amen. So it's a wonderful hymn, praise God. A marvellous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. So that's where they got the spilt from, because we're rhymed with guilt, but we'll not worry about the rhyme. We'll sing shed, praise God.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you, Brother Gary. Matthew's feeling a bit sick tonight. I couldn't make it, but the Lord bless those that came this evening. And We just trust the Lord will help us with his word tonight. We're turning to Samuel again, and I've been wanting to get away from chapter 16, but I'm back at it tonight again. And I'd all prepared in chapter 18 last week, but I hadn't went into chapter 16, 17. I was going to miss it out, but maybe there's things in there, but maybe God's leading us to look at. So we're back at it again, and tonight I want to talk about David's call. And I might have mentioned some of these things last week briefly, but I just want to read these scriptures again this evening. 1 Samuel 16, let's read from verses 1 down this evening. The Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, saying, I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Now we read these last week, so let's go down a bit till verse 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah, and I might be saying these names wrong, but you'll forgive me for that, to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are there all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he have come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now I want to read again verse 12, just from a little bit of a different way. Jesse sent and brought David. David had a healthy, reddish complexion and beautiful eyes, and was fine looking. The Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him. This is he. A reddish complexion. Some, there's many different commentators would say about it. Some say, like, when you're out in the sun and you get red, and some say it's red hair. There's all different things about it, but I'll tell you one thing. The Bible says he was good looking. So he was definitely good looking, because the Bible says he was. And it's not often the Bible says somebody's good looking. Sure it's not. So he must have been good looking. Amen. Let's come and bow our head tonight. Praise the Lord. And if you have a need, just lift your hand to the Lord. And we're going to pray for Ruth Hagblom tonight. The Lord touched her when she was here some years ago with her kidneys, but she's having some readings that she's not happy with. And we'll need them to be fixed. Praise God. And God touched people, you know, in their service on Sunday. There's been testimonies. But the Lord's touched people. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you this evening in the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're blessed and we're privileged that we have open access from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we come pleading the precious blood of the Lamb of God tonight. We plead it afresh upon each of our lives and on our families and all that's near and dear to us. We plead your blood. We pray, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be like hyssop. Fill us, and we glorify your name. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now to undertake, and I thank you that you will. And I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I pray you'll sanctify this very room tonight and our whole bodies, souls, and spirits in Jesus' precious name. Father, for the hands raised in this room, bless and meet every need. I'm asking it in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for Sister Ruth tonight in Australia. Lord, I pray you'll touch her kidneys. I pray the readings will come up higher, that everything will go well, that you'll not need these dialysis. But I pray you'll grant her the miracle she needs and the grace. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and with your stripes, your wounds, we were healed. We thank you tonight that Calvary settled it all. Full atonement, can it be? What a Savior. Lord, we bless you tonight. We pray, oh Lord, you'll save all of our children. Lord, we plead your blood on every son, every daughter, every niece, every nephew, every aunt and uncle and grandson, daughter and grandson. In Jesus' precious name, save them, we pray. Bless the word now to their hearts tonight. And Matthew as well, touch Matthew and speak to him tonight. Move in his body. And Lord, any that's backslidden, that should have been here but didn't come, may you speak to them and move with them as we commit them to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's so many things which says, I don't want to get sidetracked on this reddish and ruddy, but the book of Song of Solomon 5 and verse 10 says, my beloved is white and ruddy. There's a lot of things the Bible talks about it, the chiefest among 10,000. So I believe David was good looking, or whatever way words you want to put for it, but the Bible says he was anyhow. Amen. And you know, the Bible talks about Moses being a goodly child. Now, how did they know he was good? He means he was well-formed, good to look at, in good shape. They don't know how good he was in the sense of a good boy or a girl, because he wouldn't have been old enough. But he was good. He was good shape. And God chose him, didn't he? And he took him right in the wee basket, floated him down into the camp of the enemy. Right into them. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. So you see, Saul's been rejected. We went over it a bit last week. He's been rejected. And you see, when you go back, and I mentioned last week, the people chose him, really, because the people wanted a king. And when Samuel went to God and Samuel prayed, and God said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. Let them have a king. But here now God saying to Samuel, mourn no more for him. For I chose a king after my own heart. And David was a man after the Lord's own heart. And no matter what fault we can find in David, and we won't have to search far till we'll find them. But David was a man after God's own heart, because David was a man that could repent. Amen. And you know, when David done things, he repented of it. So the Lord done that. Matthew 7:26 says this, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, and shall build his house upon the sand. So God not only wants us to be hearers of the word, but God wants us to be doers of the word. Now I want to look at this man tonight briefly, and I'm going to go over the first few bits, because I did mention him last week. And we know that the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. And we know in verse 1, I have provided me a king. That's what God says to David, I have provided me a king. Samuel was forbidden to prolong his mourning for Saul any longer, because the Lord had provided a king. And God gives him instructions to go and anoint that king. And we know that David was faithful and tending his father's sheep in chapter 17, verse 34 to 36. You can read about that. He was faithful, and he was a bit like Saul, in a sense. Saul was a farmer as well, but here David was a farmer. He was a sheep man, and he knew about the sheep, and he knew how that when the bear came in, God let him slay it. And it's amazing, isn't it, really? Now, I believe he's young. I don't know how young he was, but, you know, because we don't know. And another thing I was thinking about this when I was studying this and reading it, and a lot of things over the Bible, what we have to understand is, you could read somewhere here in a few verses, and, you know, the person could be young, and years could skip. And then you're reading about them again. They're no longer a wee fella. They're grown. And we can't maybe fit all that in, but God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? You know, you see, David, God knew here who was chosen, and God was picking this man, and maybe he wasn't the one that Samuel would have picked, because Samuel looked at this first big fella, and he probably looked like Saul in resemblance. He was big, he was strong, and we know Saul was big and strong. And then Samuel thought, this is definitely the one. And the Lord said, no, he's not the one. And seven of them passed before him, and none of them was the one. And I tell you, not many men are called, but you know, the Lord takes the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty. You know, that's where a well-known preacher had said, God always begins a long way back. God always begins a long way back. God may choose the foolish things of this world, but he does not choose the lazy things. That's what one famous preacher said. God may choose things that men wouldn't choose, but he doesn't choose the lazy. And David definitely wasn't lazy. Sure he wasn't. You know, the Bible talks about being lazy. How many knows that? And the Bible says, whatever we put our hand forth to do, we're to do it unto the Lord. We're not to be half-hearted. I myself, I don't like half-heartedness in any sort of a thing. And there's some people, and they can be half-hearted, and they do things, and they're not really, they're wasting their time because they're half doing it and half not doing it. God wants us to put the full effort in. Amen. And I tell you, David was going to put the full effort in. Now, there was a commission here that God gave them, and I'm missing out a lot of stuff because I don't want to hold you long tonight, and I want to get till some verses that I'm thinking about more for this evening and not go over too much from last week. This commission here from the verse 1, the Lord said unto Samuel, fill thine horn of oil and go. And since David, the son of Jesse, has become his chosen one, so he also chooses the means by which, you know, he's going to do it. He sends Samuel. And it's amazing when God does this, an evil spirit's come upon Saul. And we'll maybe see this later on. I don't want to jump the gun tonight. But it amazes me that God used David to play music to calm down or tame, whatever way you want to look at it, that spirit that was in Saul. And Saul so mightily anointed of the Lord, and we saw that, and so mightily used of the Lord, but now God's let an evil spirit come on him. And we saw last week, for Samuel was afeard of him killing him. And you think of the mighty prophet Samuel's afraid to go up, and he's afraid of David, Saul killing him. And I tell you, you see, he knew there was such a change in Saul. And he showed you where he hadn't left his house when he was training the prophets. He's afraid to go out, but God told him to go on up. And God gave him the means how to answer them. When just got up for a bit of a sacrifice. And we saw that Jesse's family was all called to that. Now, God's providence will never contradict his purposes. When God calls a man, God's a work for a man and a purpose for a man. And God doesn't do something for nothing. And you know, the Bible says, he that begun a good work in you will carry it on to the coming of the Lord. Amen. The anointing oil for the head of David is put in Samuel's horn. And Samuel has sent the prophet to anoint David at the bidding of God, so that it will be put, not put there in vain. And when God sends Samuel to anoint someone, it's not in vain. And God sends Samuel to anoint David. And, you know, neither is the Holy Spirit given to us in vain. God does not give us the Holy Spirit in vain and for no reason or no purpose, but we are given the Holy Spirit for a reason and for a purpose. You know, we're blessed tonight because we're living in a dispensation for, you know, God's given us so many wonderful truths, and we believe that God sent the spirit of Elijah in the 20th century, according to Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And that God has took the veil off in the sense of the word. And we know what things mean, which maybe wasn't clear before. Amen. And we know that many people preach different evidences of the Holy Spirit. What the evidence would be, and they use gifts for evidences. But we know that a prophet of God said the evidence is that you can receive the truth. Amen. And you know, the Holy Spirit will not deny his own self. So when God gives someone the Holy Spirit and they're confronted with the Word of God, they'll believe the Word of God, won't they? And I tell you, the Spirit, this oil represents the Holy Spirit, and this oil was put in Samuel's horn of oil to go and anoint David. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ promised every believer that there would be a day coming when the Father would send the promised Holy Ghost upon them to anoint them. And just as Jesus was anointed the Holy Spirit, and just as all through that Old Testament they're anointed, we need to be anointed. We need the anointing of God. Amen. And that pattern's never changed. And a lot of people don't preach it like God or believe it like God. But I believe it's absolutely the truth. We still need the anointing of God. Am I believe that tonight? That the anointing breaks the yokes, praise God. And we know that Samuel went as an ambassador, you know. Samuel was going like an ambassador. And you know, when God anoints a man and God sends a man, he's an ambassador for the Lord. And didn't the Lord Jesus say, as the Father sent me, so send I you as ambassadors for the Lord. So as you go, it could be a wee group or a big group. It doesn't matter what size the group is. If the Lord sent you, then you're the Lord's ambassador. And you're on the King's work. And you're on the King's business. Amen. And you need to go with your shoulders back, believing, knowing that God sent you, that the Lord's going to take care of you. Amen. And God's message carrying with them the anointing power of God. Amen. Look at verse 4. Do we wonder the elders of the town trembled that it's coming, didn't they? They trembled that it's coming. And the true man of God will always be a man of authority and power. And you know, when we read through the book of Acts, the demons trembled at the power that was in God's servants and God's men. And even that madman, when Jesus got out of the boat after the devil tried to sink it, going out over there, and he couldn't do that. And the Lord got down, and the madman met him, and he said, "We know thee who thou art, the Holy One of Israel. Art thou come to torment us before the time?" The devil's recognized him. Amen. They recognized him. You know, a prophet of God said that people that's in the stuff that shouldn't be recognizes the Spirit of God quicker than some so-called religious Christians. And you know, if Paul was raised back tonight and was to go around all the churches, I wonder how many would have him. Think of the ministry he had and how he cast out devils and believed in tongues and them gifts and supernatural miracles was wrought by his hands. How many would have him tonight? And then in the 20th century, God sends a man and he says they wouldn't walk across the street of Phoenix to see what's happening. And you think how hard it is to get people today to church. And I often think, Lord, have you done a miracle? Or have you done a sign? Or have you done a wonder? Sure, they would all come. But God did do the miracles. And God did do the signs. And God did do the wonders. And God even revealed the secrets of the heart and raised the dead. And they still didn't come. And the Bible says, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. You see, it's only God knows who's going to come. But we have to keep on going, don't we? You see the search here. There's a search on, and this search is for the right man. In verse 11, send and fetch him. So Samuel's had a look at the one that he thought, and Jesse's lying to Simon up. He's given no regard. Let's be honest about it. Jesse himself's given no regard to David. He's a wee fella. He's out in the field there looking after a few sheep. And the brothers thinks not nothing, and they mock him. Even after he's called, they still mock him. Here's the wee boy coming with a lunch. What's he going to do about it? They laughed at him. And I tell you, that's how men are. They laugh at God's choosing. But the day will come when they won't laugh. And I tell you, they weren't laughing when David slew Goliath with a sling. They weren't laughing. They weren't laughing when he took Goliath's sword, that 9-foot-6-inch giant, and a 200-pound weight sword. They weren't laughing when the wee good-looking David lifted the sword, took his head off, and they handed it up and gave it to the king, didn't they? They weren't laughing then. But I tell you, people mock the Lord's anointed. They mock David. His own brother's done it. It's a wee bit like Joseph as well. Joseph, when he started dreaming the dreams, and he was a seer and a dreamer, and he started dreaming the dreams, and he started telling them, they laughed at him. And his father loved him more than the rest. There's no question in that. The Bible's clear in that. Because he's a type of Jesus Christ in your Bible. And he was loved above all. And Jesus Christ was loved more than all. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And that coat of many colors all represents. You could preach so many sermons on it. But I don't want to go off into it tonight. But they hated him. His own brothers were against him. They wanted to kill him. And here's David. And David's chosen of the Lord. And Samuel, this time now here, want to bring this out again tonight. And I mentioned it last week. Now, I want you to understand that prophets don't always know everything. I want you to get that now. And how I'm going to tell you that's like this, because we saw when Saul came, Samuel saw him coming, and he knew what would happen when he would leave. He had all the details, all the instructions, but God sent him here to anoint a man he's chosen, and he doesn't know at this time it's David. And when he gets there, he picks the wrong one. And he says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me, and he has to keep waiting and waiting. And when David comes, then that's the one, because God tells him it. So God doesn't show him everything right away. The Lord makes him wait, and then he shows him. And I tell you, that's a lesson for every one of us tonight. And you know, William Branham was sitting at a table, and I always remember him saying this, and the wall had fell on the wee fella, and he was crushed, and he's in the hospital, and he was dying. And there he sat with his wife having breakfast, and he said, you know, the Lord would just show me a vision. I could go down and he'd be raised up if God would just show me a vision. And he says he got to thinking, did the vision heal him or did the faith in Jesus Christ heal him? And he said he got to thinking the vision was just to help him. But there's no power in the vision. And he said he went down without the vision in faith and laid hands on him, and he's in the meeting that night solid well. And God sometimes wants us to step out in faith. And even preaching, we have to do it. Sometimes you'll feel, well, I have a wonderful sermon this morning. And another time you feel you have nothing. And the time you feel you have nothing, you're still to preach it. Because the Bible says you're to preach it in season and you're to preach it out of season. And you go ahead and do it anyhow. And sometimes you can pray for somebody and you can feel something in your hand and you feel it and you know it and they feel it and they know it. And then another time you don't feel nothing. It's not the feeling that does it. It's faith in Jesus Christ that does it. And we can't be led by feelings. Nothing wrong with feelings, but we can't be led by feelings. We have to be led by the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost can give you a feeling. But what happens if you don't have a feeling? And some situation comes and you have to pray. What I call a dry prayer. How many knows what that means? That means you can't get worked up for it. There's no singing to work you up. There's nothing to enthuse you. You have to do it on the spot. And God still can hear it. And then you remember back, every one of us, when the Lord saved us. Maybe we're away somewhere just by ourselves. And there was no emotion. There was no nothing. But we called on the Lord and he heard it. Amen. And we can't always be wanting a feeling and wanting a sensation all the time. Sometimes God wants us to step out in faith. It is with the heart that man believeth. Verse 7 says it, and the Lord looketh on the heart. The Lord wasn't looking on the countenance, the Lord was looking on the heart. And yet David was nice, because the Bible says he was. He was a good lad. And man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the word of God. Because David was the least among them, and in their eyes, he was the least among them. He was the youngest. He was the last they had thought of. But the last shall be first, the Bible says. Amen. And God works with God, for nothing could be done till David come. And Samuel went through them all, and he said, nothing can be done till he comes. 2 Corinthians 10:18. Not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. That's what 2 Corinthians 10:18 says. There's people that commend themselves, but if the Lord's never commended them, the commendation's no good. Then you have groups of people, and I won't name them tonight, but if you belong to them, and you were going over to Australia or over to anywhere else in the world or Africa, and you were part of their group, you would have to take a letter of commendation. And they would show it to their head over there, and he would have a good look at you. And then he would see whether or not you'd be fit to take part. But I tell you, we don't believe in that tonight. Sure we don't. It's the Lord that commands us. The Holy Spirit goes before God's man. And God prepares the heart, and God prepares the way. Amen. Who made himself of no reputation was exalted above all. Jesus was the humblest of the whole lot over disciples and everything. He washed their very feet. And they said, when Peter said, you'll not be washing me, and the Lord said, if I don't, you have no part with me. He says, wash every bit of me. Amen. Now, we could ridicule Peter for you'll not wash me, but then we don't ridicule him when he says, wash me all. Sure we don't. He wanted the Lord. He was zealous for the Lord. Amen. Maybe going about it sometimes the wrong way, but it worked out all right at the end because the Lord prayed for him. Amen. Thank God for him. Self-defense is often a confession of weakness and self-conceit, isn't it? We don't need to defend ourselves. The Lord will do that. Amen. I tell you, it was the Lord looked after David. And the judgment of man, intellectual, gifts and all these different things that can be seen, that's all good. But a man mightn't have any of them things as far as man goes. And God can use them if God's called them. Eliab and Abinadab, men, they might have patted their chests through the shoulders back in the sense. I'll guarantee you they thought they were in for it like. When they seen Samuel come with the horn of oil, they were the big fellas. They thought it was for them, I'm sure they did. And their dad did as well, but they were all disappointed, weren't they, because it wasn't for any of them. God's man wasn't even there. And God's man wasn't there that gave him no thought. You see, Jesse knew he was coming. He was told they were getting ready. He was told we're going to do a sacrifice. He knew all about it. It wasn't as if he had left him. He knew what he was doing. But I'm glad the Lord said, we're not moving till you go and get him. And Samuel couldn't saddle himself either when he heard there's a nor one, because he knew there's none of them seven, because God said it's none of them seven. Amen. You better go and get number eight. That means completion. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? You see, God's not mocked. Sure, he's not. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. No amount of pretense or bribery, and none of them things can work with God. You know, there's groups you could go among some groups, and you could talk a certain language, and you're in. You could say certain phrases, and you're in. And they'll have you. And they'll be calling you, and they'll be on the phone wanting you. But I'm telling you, when you stick to the Lord's phrases, and the Lord's sayings, and you preach a thing called the gospel, and it shocks me that we're living in a dispensation for people don't want the gospel. He only preaches the gospel. Well, what are they preaching? Another gospel. If they are, it's not a gospel. 2 Peter 1:10 says, wherefore rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fail. See, this anointing's the key. And tells us this in verse 13, and as soon as David came, the Lord said, arise, anoint him. As soon as he came. Now, God didn't show Samuel by vision at this time the way he did the other time. And you have to understand, Samuel's really disappointed, and I showed you that last week. But God said, you've mourned him long enough, let's get going here. You have other people to anoint. Amen. Arise and anoint, verse 13, this is he. So Samuel anointed him in the midst of the brethren, perhaps because of envy. His brethren show no signs of gladness. It didn't clap at his promotion. I'll tell you, this is the truth, what I'm preaching tonight. There's some people would clap, but there's others didn't clap. They didn't clap at his promotion. You know, there's some people, and if you pulled up the church in a big fancy car, that say, praise God, he's been blessed. And if you pulled up the pushback, they'd be happier. Now, I'm going to tell you a story about a bank and a young fella. Just when I think of it. I know of a young man years ago, and this young man got saved. And he was a good young man, but he was into cycling, racing bikes, Brother John. He raced the bikes, the push bikes. And he did a real good racing push bike. And there was two men, or three might have been. There might have been more than two. But there was a hierarchy of a certain denomination, and they thought his bike was too worldly. And they come up to his house, and they said to him, we've come to visit you because your bike's far too worldly. You're saved now. And you don't need to be taking part in these racing bikes. It's far too worldly. What type of a testimony have you got? And the young fellow wasn't saved long, but he saved long enough. And he says to two boys, he says, come to the door with me. And they brought him to the door, and he pointed over the road. And there the hunter sitting by. shining, the big fancy car. You got a Siler and Butter, a lot of bikes. You got a fitted bond bridge with the bikes that the car was worth. And the young fella says, I think your car's more worldly looking than my push bike. So we'll call it quits at that. And the three boys off the went. I'll tell you, that's the truth. Some people saw you coming with nothing to be glad. But I tell you, God blesses his servants. Did you know that? God blessed David. Solomon was blessed. Job was blessed. There's men in this Bible that God blessed. And he blessed them financially and physically. He blessed them. And I tell you, many afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. And God said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul does prosper. Amen. So the pushbike's all right. And the nice car's all right as well. There's none of the two of them will keep you out of heaven. But you see, them fellas had religion. That's what they had. But they didn't have an anointing. I tell you, anointing's a different thing. You see, they weren't happy at his promotion. And this is God's order. God's order should be our privilege, shouldn't it? When God does something and we know it's the Lord, we should praise him. We should magnify the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. The Bible says from that day, and it was definite memorial experience in the life of David. And it's truly a consecrated life compared to the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And every one of us need the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And if God had to anoint a man in the Old Testament, we definitely need the anointing tonight, don't we? Amen. Acts 4:31. I'm near finished. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak the word of God with boldness. May the God give us boldness to preach and speak his word. We're not sent warfaring on our own charges. We're sent by the Lord. For every special task to which we're called, there's a special supply of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. And when God really sends a man, God will meet that man's needs. And God will give that man what he needs to go and do the job that he sent him to do. It's like when I read about Billy Bray. There is Billy Sunday, but this was Billy Bray. And I read about Billy Bray. And Billy Bray said, when the knees go out of these trousers, the Lord will quit. But the Lord kept him. And I tell you, it's some testimony. He's a real drunkard. And every bar he went to, the drinks, God turned the taste of it because his wee wife prayed. She said, make that drink stinking. It is stinking anyhow, I'll tell you that tonight. It's rotten anyhow, the most of it. But he even made it stink more. And when he went into every place, he went into the taverns, they called them then, and then he had a drink of her. A gargle, as it say in the south. He spat it out, and they threw him out. They kept throwing him out because he was spitting out the drink. It was stinking them. And he came home and he went away up into his room and his wife didn't know what was wrong with him. Because he never come home sober and he never come home in time. And he got saved. A wee coal miner, and I tell you, God moved that man and God used that man. Hallelujah. He'll tell you this testimony. I'm going to close this and close the night. I remember reading about him, and there was a hillside and there were several lands on it. Probably a lot of them would have been farming people back then. And he was praying and praying, and God said to him, I'll give you every soul on these hills. But he never waited. He never waited to the next day or nothing. He went straight to the first house and started preaching to them. And every one of them that wasn't converted got saved. And there's one house, and they say that he lifted the maiden in his arms and he danced for around the kitchen floor, swinging around on his arm. He's that excited. And every house he went to, round, and I can't remember the many there was, but they all got saved one after, and through the night he was going. He never waited till the next day. He took God at his word and he went. And the power of God fell in an old church back then, and the power of God fell that much in the church, he made the people go outside because he didn't think it was reverent for them shaking and dancing and all of what they were doing in the church. And he made them come out of the church. Didn't understand, did they? And you used to hear the saying, You know, the old Methodists used to shake their hair down, but that was true. That wasn't just an old saying. That was a true thing, that their hair pinned up. The women had their hair pinned up. They had long hair and it was pinned up. And the power of God would come on them, and the Holy Ghost would shake, and the pins held their hair up would come down, and their hair would come down. And you know, a lot of these songs and all wrote, "Let your hair down," and all these things. You know, a lot of stuff pop stars took sayings from the Bible, and they became famous out of it. Because God's word's power, no matter what way it's used, but it's the word of God, isn't it? But I'm telling you, we need the Holy Spirit. Let's come and let's pray tonight and seek the Lord this evening. And please keep Sister Ruth in prayer, and also keep Samuel's wife Linda in prayer. She's due the wee baby, and I think it's around the 20th of November, but they might have to go early because I don't understand it all. The counts are a bit high or something. But pray for them, that everything will be well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful characters, what we've read about, strange men really that you've used. And Lord, perhaps, Lord, here's David, wasn't even there when Samuel came. Seven big strong fellas, probably would have pleased anybody to look at. And their dad thought they were great, I'm sure, and loved them. But Lord, you didn't choose any of them seven, for the job was for David. And Lord, you sent them, and you didn't rest your prophet till David came. And then he took the horn of oil and anointed David. And then we know the word of God said, Saul has put the thousands to flight, and David the tens of thousands. Lord, we thank you tonight that your anointing and your power doesn't go backwards. And your prophet said that, Lord, you don't take gifts back, but you give more. You add on till. Lord, we pray for an adding on to us tonight. An adding of more of the Holy Spirit, more of the power of God, more of the anointing of God. Add to your work such as should be saved, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we think of our own children tonight. You know every one of them. You know them by name. You know all about them. Lord, we want to see them saved. We want to see you speaking to them. We want to see you moving on them. We want to see you touching their hearts and touching their lives, rescuing them out of this world. For you're coming soon, Lord. We see Israel tonight, bombardments from every side, but we pray for the protection. We pray the angels of the Lord when it campeth round about them. And oh God, that you bless your people in Jesus' precious name. And Father, bless all in this house tonight. Meet the need of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in Jesus' precious name. Father, pray for the widows tonight. Strengthen them. Bless them, Lord. Meet their every needs. For those who are sick, of Brother George and the family, and Lord Matthew tonight, any others tonight, bless them and touch them, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Bless any sisters or brothers that had to work tonight. Father, for those that couldn't make it, bless them, be with them. And for those tuned in, Lord, bless them and touch them, encourage them. Anyone that's down tonight, lift them up, Lord. Give them a touch of the Holy Ghost. Let your power come upon them. Lord, we know we don't go on feelings, but Lord, it does feel good. And we pray you pour your Spirit out upon us mightily, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Father, bless the services that lay ahead and have your way in the meetings, we pray. Grant your wisdom and your guidance. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you as we continue tonight. We'll be back on Sunday, the Lord will.